Should I start again?
Yeah.
Baba had visited this particular center and called three or four of his important... The workers had been working hard for him. And he'd call them individually. And he told each person, let each person feel that they were the ones in charge of his work. And then he left. And generations later, the results of that are still there. This is, not only has he done this at one center, he's done this at many centers. And not only has he done this personally in the body, he's also done this internally, where different lovers, different workers think they're the ones in charge of his work. And he does this deliberately. Years ago, I used to work with semi-precious stones, and the way we would work with them, the way we'd clean the stones, is we would put the stones in a wire cylinder called a tumbler, and a motor would turn them, and water would rush through, and they would clean each other off. And eventually, they would be cleaned by just knocking against each other. Then they would be individually polished. This is what Baba does. He puts us all together, individuals of different natures, different temperaments, and he says, work together for me. What he does is he seduces us from the world in which our prime concern becomes not necessarily the attention of our employer or the pursuit of our career, but the thing we're really concerned with is serving Baba. Pretty soon we're more concerned about the opinions of Baba lovers than we are of the opinion of the world. We're more concerned about the opinion of the mandali, the feelings of the mandali, the feelings of our fellow Baba lovers and workers than we are of the world. And then, once he gets us totally dependent and relying upon the opinion of others in the group of Baba lovers and workers, he starts to remove that. In my own experience, I was more concerned, and am more concerned about the opinion of the mandali about me than the people I worked with. I'm a lawyer, I was in California. And then I moved to India. And then Baba creates circumstances, as I've explained already in two stories, removing my attachment to the feelings of the mandali for me. Baba said, don't let my work take you away from me. He gives us his work so we can transfer all our concerns, transfer our ambition from the world to his work. And then he removes that so that there's only his love left. If we could accept the grindings that we experience in his work as coming from him, we will experience being with him. It's easy, of course, when we hear stories of Baba saying to Balkalchuri, I want you to serve this adolescent boy. It's easy when we hear stories like that, because Baba's right there, and at least Bao had the thought, no matter how difficult it was, these years of serving this boy, being subjected to his moods, at least he knows Baba put him in that situation. But in the same thing applies in our lives. Any difficulty that we're in, If we take it as coming from Baba, we experience it as coming from him. One of Baba's favorite ways of grinding the ego is to put somebody with a difficult personality in charge of a certain aspect of his work. Somebody that on no other level would we relate to that person. But for his work, we have to see that person. We have to work with them. He does this for two reasons. One, to draw that person closer to him. And the second is to grind the egos down of everyone having to work with that person, having to assist that person. And he's doing this because he loves us. He's doing this because he's removing what we wanted him to remove, the veil that separates us from him, which is us. This is the path. I wonder, has Baba left anyone in this room untouched? Is there anyone not experiencing enough grinding from him? Isn't it wonderful the way he can design for each one of us that circumstance and that situation that cuts us to the core, that irritates us the most? Meher Baba says, don't worry, be happy. He doesn't mean don't worry, be happy in the world. There is no happiness in the world. When he says, don't worry, be happy, he means don't worry, be happy in his love. Erich explained that when Meher Baba says, don't worry, be happy, this is his assurance of his happiness. This is the process of him giving us his happiness. Mani explained that when he says, I love you, love me, this is the process of him giving his love to us. If we want the world, then we'll go after the world. But who has found any happiness in the world? It doesn't mean that we can't find happiness in the world. But we can only do so if we establish an inner communion with him. If we find Baba in our heart, if we make Baba the central issue of our lives, then we can be happy in the world. Think for a moment when one falls in love, either with a man or a woman, or with a job, or any situation that makes you happy. That experience of happiness, that flush of love that is there, that's a subjective experience, isn't it? That's a feeling that you feel. When you're in love with somebody, you're expressing feelings towards them, and when they reciprocate that love, then you feel happy, you feel joyful. When that career situation is responsive to your feelings, you're happy. So what's happening is that we're projecting an inner experience, and we're projecting it outward to the world, and when it comes back, when the communication is clear and free, then we experience that back and we're happy. We feel love. When our husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend is in the proper mood and receptive to our feelings, then we feel good. But it's really an internal experience. If we turn to Meher Baba directly, we can experience his love directly as an internal experience. We can have direct communication with our heart. Then, instead of expecting love, expecting happiness externally from the world, from people, we can give. What we do is we go outward in. We seek outwardly in order to feel happiness or love inwardly, instead of inward out. Recently I was at the center and looking at it was a full moon night, and I was looking at the reflection of the moon on the lake, and there were some lilies there, some seaweed in the way. I couldn't quite get the reflection properly, and I would try to move trying to see the reflection properly, and occasionally I would see it without the seaweed or the lilies, but then because of the ripples of the water, the image wasn't clear. Then suddenly I looked up and saw the moon in all its glory. And it became so clear that we're always seeking the reflection of love in others. And it's never clear, it's never pure. And there Baba's come to offer us the experience of his love. Directly, the experience of love directly. The love that we experience for our children is like a little bit of a drop of love for our husbands, our wives, a drop of love. Each love, each experience of happiness we feel, we experience in the world is a little bit of love. Meher Baba's love is the ocean of love that contains all possible drops of love. If we open up our hearts, if we turn to him internally, we can experience love purely. This is not something of the future. The new humanity is now. I made a great effort to move to India 8 years ago. And after I was there for a number of months, I thought, what now? For years I've been trying to move to India. And after I was there for a while, I thought, well, now what? Then it became so clear the distance was not the thousands of miles that I went to India. The distance was from the head to the heart. There was nowhere to go externally. The real journey was inwardly. Francis Brabazon in 1969 at the Great Darshan said that we have journeyed all this distance to bow down to our Lord in our hearts. The centers of Meher Baba, like Myrtle Beach and Mehrabad, Mehrzad, and Avatar's Abode and other centers, have a purpose of reminding us of the real center within. I remember one time when I went to Myrtle Beach, they said, "Welcome to the center." They were talking about the earth, the land. And this feeling of his love was welling up in my heart, and I realized this was the real center. The purpose of journeying to Mehrabad and Mehrzad for darshan is to remind us of this center within. It's important to make that journey, but we should also realize that the journey is an internal one. For some of you who have gone, you're very fortunate to have gone. And for those who haven't gone, don't think that you can't go because of outward circumstances, because of outward difficulties. Many times it's financial. The moment one wants to make that trip for his darshan, that's when the darshan begins. In Guru Prasad once, Baba was giving darshan, and it was a long queue, a long line of people. And some Baba lovers who thought for some reason their time was more valuable than the others cut in front of the queue. And they came to Baba, Baba sent them to the back. So the queue, the getting in line for his darshan, is a significant part of the darshan. The moment one makes a decision to go to India for his darshan, the moment one starts sacrificing, saving money,
to go. That's when the darshan begins, because one's attention, one's focus is on Baba. The moment one sacrifices one's desires in the littlest bit, in any small way, to save money to go for darshan, that's when the darshan begins. That's the start of the darshan. Before I close, I wanted to know, does anybody have any questions or any comments about what we've talked about tonight?
Why would, when you talk about the world, finding happiness in the world as opposed to finding something within your own self?
Right.
And what do you mean by the world?
By the world, I mean making one's sense of self-worth dependent upon the opinion of others, dependent upon one's success in one's career, dependent upon one having a husband or a wife. In other words, depending upon anything externally is compared to Mayor Baba's love. Mayor Baba has said he loves us. When I was in Myrtle Beach recently, I conveyed the love of some of the Mandali to one of the Baba lovers there, and she was so happy to hear this. I could just see her heart melting. This was this outward confirmation of Baba's love to her through the Mandali. And of course, when Baba sends a telegram and says to each one of, says to someone, I love you, the heart is melted. But he says this to us each day. He continually tells us that he loves us. Each one of us are getting direct communications constantly of his love for us. We're always seeking love from the world. We're always seeking assurance from others. Whereas Mayor Baba says, I love you, you are mine. They used to say of the Buddha that the words he spoke were familiar, that they'd heard him before. But when it came from the Buddha, it had new meaning. The words that Mayor Baba has said, has given, you can find this elsewhere. God loves you. Join yourself, become one with God. What Mayor Baba has come to give is the experience of those words, the experience of that love. We are all in the ocean of his love. If we could but allow the cup of our hearts to open and experience it. Instead, we're grabbing shadows. We're grabbing love as best we can from the world. Does that respond to your question?
It responds to it, yeah.
Does it answer your question?
Well, for a long time I felt that I thought, I was under the impression that I should kind of be in a state of love or a state of bliss or a state of, you know, real, real fine state that comes from contact with Mayor Baba or something that comes from within my own self.
Right.
Okay. And a lot of years went by. I felt something was wrong because when I would turn within, I would find myself, and that's it. Okay. So what you're describing, or what I'm hearing, is kind of like the same impression I was under years ago, that one should kind of like turn within one's own self and kind of bask in this love, okay? Which we'd all do if we always, if every time we turned within, we'd find that. But like Margaret Crest, who spent like 10 years with Baba, she gave a talk in New York, and after her talk, the thought ran through my head, my God, I mean, who would ever want to get involved in such a thing? I mean, right under, you know, under the direct supervision of the Avatar and his physical presence for like 10 years.
Right.
And it sounded like a horrible, horrible nightmare. So just that's my own experience. I'm kind of reluctant to, like, you know, kind of knock out everything externally and just turn within my own self, because what I find usually is my own self and nothing else. That's my experience.
That's your experience. What do you mean, turn from the world? You mean...
Well, you just kind of get wrapped up in your own self and internally what's happening within your own self. You know, maybe just stare at a picture of Mayor Bob or just take Mayor Bob's name. You know, that type of thing. Hoping for some very pleasant internal experience.
What you're describing... the difficulties that you experienced in finding him is a classic description of what we're all going through. He didn't say it would be easy, you see, to find his love. But his love is there if we turn to him. If we truly let go of the world. And that's up to each heart. I can't read your heart or anyone else's heart. All I can say is that in my own personal experience, it's because I have nowhere else to go in the world for solace, for comfort.
Yeah.
'Cause I've tried, you see. I've tried being, you know, Mr. Baba worker, you know, and that's been all taken away, you see, because I see no future in anything, that there's no place for me in the world, I mean in the world of his work, not just the world as my career, but in the world of his activity, of his work. That's only because I seem cut off from anything externally that he's there. Does that relate to your experience?
Well, I don't know, it probably does, but how long does this solace last? A minute, an hour? Is it constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? You know?
What he said... He said that if we long for him above everything else, he will be there.
Well, I believe he's always there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But to feel some kind of love or some kind of bliss, those experiences for me have been transitory, of a short-lived nature. And I suspect they are for everyone, because otherwise we wouldn't bother to function. We would just bask in that happiness.
But... I know the term that we, when somebody comes to Baba, we say, oh, he's on the honeymoon. And, of course, we mean that eventually that will be over with, right? That's the nature of a honeymoon. Is, my perception is that the honeymoon doesn't have to end. It's only because our minds say, well, it's going to end. Or I'm going to have to deal with the difficulties. That it has to end. It doesn't mean that there's not ups and downs. Something that Bao told me recently perhaps might be responding to what he said. It seems at times that Baba's love is there, right? And then it goes away. It's transitory, right?
Right.
Okay. What happens sometimes is that when we experience his love, the desire for his love grows. We experience a bit of his love, and it makes us want more love. In other words, our capacity and our longing increases because of the experience of his love. And then we're no longer satisfied with the same amount of love. We're no longer satisfied with that communion, with that bit of love. We want more.
And because of our desire and the longing increases, the cup of our heart increases, it seems as if this love is gone. But in fact, we're experiencing the same amount of love, only we want more, and we're not satisfied with what we're experiencing. And does that seem a possibility?
Oh, sure, sure. I just, while you were talking, though, it just brought up a thought in my mind. Ivy Deuce once, her daughter was going with Mayor Baba somewhere,
right?
And she wasn't going to be able to go along. And how happy she felt about that, because she just felt being with Baba was just like a very exhausting, straining kind of experience.
Right.
And felt happy that she wasn't going along.
With Baba.
Right.
She needed a break.
Take it as you will, you know. That's just what popped in my mind when you're talking about this.
The nature of love, Erich once explained, it's like a wave rises. A wave of our desires, our emotions, our feelings. And then the wave collapses and merges, and there's that blending, there's that melting into Baba. And for a bit of time, we're feeling that feeling of his love. Then again, there's that arising of feelings of attachment to the world. In spite of our best efforts to remember him and to dwell within with him, our mind gets distracted, events come up, circumstances come up, and again there's a wave of anxiety, of attachment, of lust, of anger. But we should know that as every wave rises, eventually that wave merges. Eventually love is there, that experience of melting is there. And what you've described is the nature of love. Mara once said that she regrets that she did not spend enough time with Baba. Who has spent more time with Baba than Mara? And she regrets that she hasn't spent enough time with Baba. So what you've described is the experience of his love, of being in his love, yet longing more for him and not having enough time and not having enough of him. This is the nature of love. That the more one experiences, the more one wants until one's consumed. Does that...
Well, we could go on all night. Maybe someone else wants to ask a question.
I'm just wondering, I remember we met in India in 1970.
Yes. Right. You and I were the only ones there.
Right. It was before listened to, you know, we were just the start of the real flood of Western people coming over.
Right.
The Luck brothers had been there before that. They had stayed
left
for the Great Darshan.
Right.
And then they had left.
Right.
So then you moved over. So we listened to, you know, or we listened to some records.
Right, Monty.
I've been there for 5 weeks, and when you came, we listened to the records, and you talked over Trust Fund.
What particular question did you have?
Oh, I was just wondering, so you got involved with Baba work over there.
Right.
I'm just being whimsical or something. I don't know. So now so what you're saying now is, you know, first you gave up the worldly work, and you got involved in Baba work, and then you say now sometimes you get the experience of giving up even Baba work.
Right, takes away the work.
So you feel that way sometimes, just you're just there, or you're just...
No, I'm active, I'm busy.
Right.
But the sense of my feeling important, the sense of my feeling I'm doing something, he removes.
Yeah.
That's all I can express. Yeah. But I'm busy, every day is a full day. But the sense of... doing, you see, other than just carrying out whatever is happening at the moment,
okay,
is taken away.
Yeah, right.
What he does is, we're all involved, before we come to Baba, with the world, right? So he gives us his toys, his work, to get involved with. His toys, so we let go of the world. Because when we have a desire, when we express an action in the world, we unwind an impression, but as Baba explains in the discourses, we wind up another impression, right? But when it's concerning him, when we unwind an impression in his work, that impression is not wound back so tightly because it's concerning him. Right? So, he gives us his toys of the world. I mean, we give up the toys of the world for his toys concerning his work, and then he takes that away. So we don't even have that. A classic example is Adi. Adi, Baba made feel, Adi experienced at one time that he was one of the most important mandali. And he got all this attention and praise from Baba. What did he care about the world? He didn't care about the praise and attention of the world, because he had Baba's love. And then Baba took away that. He took away his attention, the praise. So Adi was stranded, having neither the outward attention of Baba nor the attention of the world. And so Adi had nowhere else to go but internally to him. Adi tells the story of one time he was so upset and angry that Baba had been paying attention to others and ignoring him, that he was actually alone. He was alone with Baba and he was crying on the floor. And he actually hit his head on the floor several times in emotion and anger and frustration and crying. And Baba said to him, "Are you finished?" And Adi settled down. And Baba said, "What do you want? Do you want this?" Pointing to his body. "Or do you want me, my reality?" And Adi realized that he couldn't have both. And that's what I'm trying to convey.
So do you feel like you've, I don't know, emptied yourself to the extent that you've gotten some, you know, like experience, you know, like based on what Baba says and God speaks, do you feel like you're, do you just feel so empty that you don't even consider it? I mean, although Baba creates the inner life, if you don't have to say it, your personal inner life, do you feel like...
I don't feel empty. I feel what he's doing is he's ripping things out.
You feel...
It's not like a voluntary process. It's a desire comes up and situation I get involved with, and Baba takes it apart, takes it away from me. So it's not like I'm doing it. What he's doing, he's taking things away. But we're not talking about the planes of consciousness. We're talking about the experience of his love that he's offering everyone. All of his lovers are blindfolded, including, you know, especially me. And what I'm talking about is the fact that he's offering his love to us if we want it. And if we experience it. Go ahead.
I've been to India, of course, for a long time. Do the Mandali feel burdened by the fact that you know, when Westerners come over and ask questions, that their focus is, you know, their time is taken on serving us, and, you know, perhaps, you know, and in a sense we're putting the emphasis, sometimes the emphasis can be placed on them instead of on Baba. Of course, it's easier to see them physically than it is at times, maybe, although it's, in a way maybe it's more pleasant to see Baba. But do they feel this presses them or burdens them in a way?
No, this doesn't burden them. This is their joy to share Baba. The nature of love is that when it's given and shared with others, it increases. Now, there's certain rules of March 15th to June 15th. Things are closed. People are not to come then. But the Mandali live for sharing Baba within the limits of their health and schedules. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it's a good answer. I like that. I like hearing that.
Let me just ask you one other question. I know it's getting late and probably maybe close to Congress itself, but you mentioned one thing about Bal Khachuri and a 14-year-old boy. I thought maybe if there's a story there, maybe that would be a story to share.
All right. Is this young boy had come to Baba, and Baba had told Bao to take care of him and please him and serve him. And at this very moment, I can't remember the details exactly of what transpired, but all I know is that Bao was constantly humiliated by this boy, trying to please him and try to satisfy him. And what's so nice about these particular stories is that it's such a reminder of situations that I have experienced in the world of dealing with adolescents and adult bodies, you see, who have some, you know, I have to listen to them. I have to do what they want. I have to please them. And if I take it as coming from Baba, the situations as coming from Baba, just like Bao took it as coming from Baba, then that experience of his love is there, of his presence is there, as compared to saying it's a quirk of fate, it's a mistake, why did this happen? I'd like to close with repeating again this initial message that you have received what I have come to give. We have each received and are receiving because it's a continual giving. Of what he's come to give, which is his love. Jai Bala.
Dear Lord, Lord.